This is Kelly Henderson, and you're listening to the Velvet's Edge podcast. This week, my guest is Holly Ramey. She is a spiritual healer who offers services all the way from Reiki to chakra healing to yoga and tarot readings, or you can do a combination of all of them. Holly and I revisited the topic of chakras that I talked about with Erica Matlick a few weeks ago on the podcast, and she told me about all of the healing that she has personally found in working with our bodies and healing this way. She also did a tarot card reading on me before the podcast, and honestly, it was so insanely spot on to my life right now that I was still processing while we talked. Holly broke down the tarot cards and why they work, and also just so much more. She is a podcaster herself, so make sure to listen and check out her own site and podcast if you enjoy this one. Here's our conversation. Okay, so can you give me the overall view of, like, what do you call your work? Because we just did a tarot card reading. Is that how you say it?
Yes.
Okay. But you do a lot of other things too. So what's the whole, like, what would you even refer to yourself as?
I struggle with this myself. Okay. I'm like, how do I brand myself? Yeah. So I usually use the word intuitive healer.
Okay.
Because that's basically what I'm doing. I'm really just holding space for others to help them move through a healing process, whether it's in a yoga session or a Reiki session or a tarot session or even in my group workshops. Yeah. I'm trying to hold an energetic space for the healing of others.
It was interesting because I read on your website, I think it was with the tarot card, but you said basically usually people come in and their heart knows what they need to hear. Mm. And you're just kind of delivering the message, which is exactly what just happened to me. But is that kind of with everything that you do?
Yeah, I think really we all have the capacity to be our own healers.
Okay.
And I can just act as a bit of a mirror. And I feel like the tarot cards especially are like a beautiful mirror reflecting yeah. back to us the things that we know deep in our hearts, but that we might not have in the forefront of our brain.
Okay, so give me a little backstory, because you mentioned to me earlier that you used to work in the fashion industry.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you transition into this kind of work?
I think the seed was planted for me at a young age, like around 18. I started getting interested in like Zen meditation and Buddhism. But then I went to college yeah. and I really wanted to move to New York City and just like live that Carrie Bradshaw life.
Don't
and
we
work
all?
In fashion.
Right.
And
wear all the fabulous clothes. Mm-hmm.
So I did that, and after a few years, I realized as like a fashion assistant in wholesale that I didn't want my boss's job, and I didn't want my boss's job either. So I jumped ship and I started working for a company selling custom business suits to businessmen. The company was actually originated in Nashville. It's called Tom James.
Oh.
And funny. But
full circle moment for you.
I never thought I'd end up here.
Yeah.
But that was just all about like making money.
Okay.
And it was high stress. It was commission based only. And I had to cold call and canvas like high level CEOs working in like lawyers, finance guys, walking onto a trading floor with like hundreds of men screaming. And I was stressed out. I was so stressed. And I was killing it and I was loving it, but I needed something to like help me get through my days. And basically, I think it was it 2008 when we had that huge housing bubble burst?
Yes.
And I mean, I lost like 2/3 of my clientele, like all
they just didn't have the money anymore.
Yeah, Lehman Brothers closed their doors. Yeah. Like all these huge financial institutions just started shutting down. Bear Stearns, so many clients just disappeared overnight. And I started doing yoga as a way to like cope with the fact that I was like, did not know how to pay my West Village rents.
God.
And the minute I walked into the yoga studio, it was like, I felt like I was home.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea what I was doing. They were speaking Sanskrit, a language that's been like, that's dead and like I've never heard before. But there was still something about it that just spoke to my soul. And within a year, I was applying to become a yoga instructor.
Because you just found so much healing there.
Yeah.
So you did yoga and then now it's transitioned into like totally different things. It's a full practice of things.
Yeah. So the yoga was like my gateway drug into deeper healing.
Yeah.
And you know, I always felt like a sensitive person, really sensitive to energies. When I first moved to this city, I actually used to drink a lot of alcohol to help numb out the intensity of the places that I was in these like really old historic buildings and the energy of 10 million people around
all
you.
All the time. That's what I was going to say, the people around.
Yeah. And so through yoga, I was able to kind of learn a little bit about like moving my own energy and protecting my own energy. It really unfolded naturally for me. Like the teachers that I was drawn to introduced me to other teachers, the situations where I put myself in, I would just like meet someone or get referred to. I got referred from a friend to a Reiki healer who after one session, I just like knew that I wanted to study Reiki. I found another teacher and, I started doing a practice called Ishta, which is the integrative science of Hatha, Tantra, and Yoga.
Oh.
And Tantra is actually not all about sex, but it's about moving energy up and down the spine. So I used to do these tantric meditations, these really deep, like 30-minute meditations, moving energy. And the teacher would come and do what they called Shaktipat. So they would put their hand over your head to try to draw the energy up your spine called the Kundalini energy, which I think you spoke about in your last podcast with the chakras.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the Kundalini energy is the energy that runs up the central cord. And when I started doing that a lot, I started noticing that I could feel the energy rising up. And then when I was teaching yoga, I could feel other people's energy in my hands.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to do about it. So my teacher told me to go get a Reiki session.
Okay. And what is Reiki? Because you now do Reiki as one of the things you offer. But I've done it once. And then I kind of just remember like laying on a table and this woman like moving her hands, not even actually touching my body, but like feeling the energy around me. Is that right?
Yeah. And so Reiki healing is mostly done off of the body.
Okay.
Or at least for me anyway, I'll rarely touch or just lay a gentle hand on.
Yeah.
It is the transmutation of energy from the UEF, the universal energy field that's all around us everywhere, into the PEF, the personal energy field. So we all have a personal energy field. We call it the aura.
Okay.
And our energy field is a kind of combination of everything going on. We have seven layers. Each layer can be associated with each chakra. But there's the physical energy, the energy of the physical body, the emotional body, the mental body, the spiritual body. And so when I'm doing a Reiki session, I'm not actually the healer. I use the word healer loosely. Sometimes I like to call myself more of a practitioner because I am just a conduit for that energy. So I'm channeling from universal into personal. So the energy is just moving through me. It's not actually coming from me.
But to do what? Like,
so I'll clear any blocks, any dense energies in the aura. I look at the chakra system.
Yeah.
And if there's any imbalances in the chakras, I help to balance them. A chakra can be overactive, rajasic, or underactive, tamasic, or it can bounce back and forth between the two if it's not balanced. And so I help to balance it. I work with the guides, guardians, spirits, sometimes ancestors come through of that person. Sometimes they have messages, but most of the time they just want me to help clear the energy. And a lot of the energy in our field also comes from past lives and our ancestral lineage.
This is so interesting because it's combining like five podcasts I've done.
Exactly.
It's literally like, I was just thinking of the one I did with Erica Matluck that you were talking about. She, if you guys don't know about chakras, we did a really, I think, pretty intense breakdown of it that helps just explain, because I'm very new to that world and just learning. Also, I have the astrologer, Marvin Wilkerson, Frank, my psychic. I mean, all of these people kind of talk in the same spiritual realm that you're talking about. So, like, do you consider yourself a psychic or just an intuitive?
I don't use the word psychic.
Okay.
Because I don't work in the same way that a psychic would.
Okay.
I think most psychics consider themselves like clairvoyant.
Yes.
And I'm clairsentient, and I have a little bit of clairaudience. So there's actually like five clairs, right?
Yeah.
And the clair is our ability to kind of see.
Okay.
So for me, I feel, like I said, I feel the energy of my clients in my hands while I was giving them adjustments. So that's clairsentience. And if I'm working on someone's throat chakra, I can feel that energy in my own throat, but I can also feel the energy of where my hands need to go in order to clear it.
Yeah.
But I also have that inner knowing where sometimes like the thoughts or the ideas just kind of pop into your head.
Yeah.
And that's why I like to use the tarot cards, because spirit doesn't always speak like the perfect human language, and they don't have like ego and timelines and like stuff that we do. So the tarot cards help me to better interpret the messages that I receive.
Okay.
So yeah, I think we all just get the messages in a different way.
Yeah.
Whether you see it or you feel it or you hear it, it's similar to what a psychic would do.
Okay. I want to talk about the tarot cards, but I have one other question about the way you feel it. And this is just like my own curiosity, mm-hmm. but I've done another podcast about being an empath, mm-hmm. and Erica, actually the chakra lady, that's not what you call her. That's what I'll call her right now.
That's a cool name.
Yeah, the chakra lady. She did an activity with a group of friends of mine, and I put my hands up to another friend, and I just felt so much anxiety immediately. And then I had put it up to another friend, and I felt nothing like that. It was just very calm and peaceful. And so I told her that, and I was like, why would I feel like, I felt it in my stomach. Like I felt like I was going to throw up all of a sudden. And she was like, oh, you're probably just highly sensitive and an empath. And those are things I know about myself. But so what's the difference between what you feel and that?
There isn't really one.
Okay.
Except for the fact that I'm actively channeling.
Okay.
I'm doing it really intentionally.
Yeah.
And I've done a lot of work to help myself put up energetic boundaries around
yeah.
the work.
So that's
like
what I
for
mean.
You, like you opening yourself into your friend's auric field and connecting your hands to them, you immediately felt their emotions. Mm. And I think so many people who identify as empaths and HSPs, that happens to them all the time.
Yeah.
That's what was happening to me when I was drinking heavily when
yeah.
I first got to New York. I didn't know that the anxiety was a lot. It was just like an overload of energy. But I mean, everybody has that to some mm-hmm. extent. Like when we use words, like we walk into a space and we're like, I really like the vibe here,
mm-hmm.
or like, ooh, this place has like weird vibes, I don't feel right. Like,
yeah.
I think we all have some level, some degree. I think some people are much, much more sensitive to it than others. And then when you're in doing work like mine, it's just a process of learning how to boundary yourself
yeah.
when you need to, and to open. So like before I sit in session, you know, we take a few deep breaths, I open my crown chakra and I ask to receive that guidance, and then I promptly shut that shit down.
You do.
Yes, when I'm about to walk back
yeah.
out into the world, because you can't just be like an open antenna.
That's how I feel like I'm operating all the time right now. And it's just, yeah, I just need to learn that, to
yeah.
shut that shit down. Because it's exhausting, and I don't know what is mine anymore.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I had to go through periods of that too, where
yeah.
I'd be like sitting down in front of a client, and all of a sudden I'd just get this like super anxious feeling in my stomach, or I'd notice that I had my hand, I'm like white knuckling,
yeah.
squeezing the chair, like, and I'm like, oh wait, this isn't me.
Yeah, that is interesting. Okay, so let's talk about the tarot cards. Because, okay, I've never done this before. And I think I associate it with kind of like that, you know, like hoaxy, witchcrafty person or whatever. And I've obviously talked a lot about, like, I see a psychic, I see an astrologer. I'm very open to things like that now, but I do think there's like a misconception about this. Do you get that a lot, that people are like, is this shit true?
It's totally funny because I thought tarot was the last thing I learned in New York.
Okay.
And the smallest part of my business. And I assumed moving down here to Nashville that I would go back into teaching yoga the most because I didn't think the South would be ready. Tarot is the number one thing I do here. Everybody calls me for tarot and to do like private parties. And so much of my business is now about tarot. And I was really worried about that coming into the South, especially with this kind of, you know, it's a cult, it's taboo.
Yeah.
And unlike psychic, there's something about the cards, there's something about the visual representation and the archetypes of mm-hmm. like the devil that really tie it into like this, like, I don't know, negative energy.
Yeah.
But really the cards just represent the energies within us. So mm-hmm. the devil isn't about the actual devil. The devil is about the things that we do that we just know we shouldn't. Mm-hmm. Like, it's about our own codependency. It's about the way that we attach ourselves to things we know aren't good for us. And so I think there's a lot I can say about like why that misconception exists. After being in patriarchy for thousands and thousands of years, there's a reason the witches were burned.
Yeah.
But my ancestors couldn't be burned, and that's why I'm still here. And there's a reason that like we're having a resurgence of that in popularity right now, because I think we're ready as a collective to tap into our feminine power. And that I think a lot of that misconception just comes from fear and control that was enforced mm-hmm. by religion.
I was about to say
yeah.
that. Yeah.
And patriarchy.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting you say that about our society being ready. I didn't even think about that, but so many of my friends are kind of on this same spiritual journey that I've been on. And we just, you know, you try the different things and see what works for you. And, I think what was interesting for me was I had no idea what to expect. And then I obviously read your website because I knew we were doing this podcast. And I was just thinking to myself, like, is she going to be like when I go sit with Frank and he's telling me about my life? And on your website, it said, no, you know already. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of like bringing you this information. And it was so that like you laid the cards out and you told me like you can tell me what this means to you. And there were immediately they spoke to me in very specific situations happening in my life right now. So is that how it always happens?
Yeah. It's literally so many people will tell me after a session, they'll be like, that was like five of my therapy sessions wrapped into one.
I was about to say, it really is like therapy, because you also like we would talk through the situations and then they would make more sense to you as to why I got certain cards. Mm. And then it was insightful as to like steps I should take or could take to help myself.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we think of like we live in our ego, right? So we live in our conscious mind and we're just like playing out these narratives that exist for our whole lives. And so the beauty of the tarot and what really drew me to it, I was doing a lot of yoga and teaching a lot of yoga. And what was missing for me was the darkness.
What do you mean?
Yoga is so much like love and light and inhale peace and exhale joy. And it's so much more than that too. It's movement, and movement in itself is medicine. But there was something else I was looking for where I could talk a little more deeply about like the complexity of the human experience. And the 78 cards in the deck are said to be indicative of the entire human experience in some way. And this is also the unconscious and the higher consciousness. And those were the pieces that I really felt were missing in just teaching yoga, is that I wanted to highlight those, the deeper meaning underneath some of our, the things that are happening in our consciousness and the reasons we feel stuck and why. Mm-hmm. And that's what the tarot does. It will highlight the things and the patterns that we have that we don't necessarily, we haven't shed light on yet. They're still in the darkness.
Yeah. I mean, that was, that's interesting because I've started thinking about a couple of the things that came up in our reading, and it almost just kind of validates, like you said, like what you already instinctually know, but maybe somehow you're blocking it. Or, I mean, a couple of my cards actually told me I was specifically blocking like self-doubt, self-sabotage kind of things. And like, just to have that validated almost. And I think we all just want to know we're on the right path. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. And it's like, and it's like what I was saying before, like we all have this deeper knowing. We yeah. all have this access to our intuition, but we also live in a society that doesn't teach us to trust that. Society teaches us to trust our ego and to live specifically from that. And if there's a problem, find a way to fix it. Mm. But we're not broken. We're not meant to be fixed. Like some things need to be sat with and felt and deeply experienced. And I don't think that we've done a good job of understanding how to do that and truly being present with ourselves.
That is interesting. So like the ego tells us to fix it and get out of stuff. Like we were talking about that specifically, just like I want to move through some things, and like you were like, no, you need to be in this right now, and you need to like feel those feelings, or you need to go through the motions of this, and like that is how I'm gonna become my higher self.
Yeah, well, it's like that saying of like what we resist persists. Yeah. And the thing is like we have to bring awareness to it, because mm-hmm. if our pattern is to resist it, we're not gonna know that we're doing that. And that's why the tarot can be so helpful, because it's just like, no, this is what you're doing. This is where you're running past some of the things that need to be sat with present mm-hmm. presence and non-judgment.
The non-judgment, that's a hard one.
Yeah.
Okay, so can you break down, you kind of told me a little bit of the backstory of cards and kind of the way they lay out. Can you explain that to the people?
Yeah, so a tarot deck is a very specific. So there's hundreds of decks out there. And now that yeah. there's been this like surgence of popularity in decks, you're gonna find tons of them. And like whatever you're into, there's a deck for that. Like, do you want a puppies and kittens deck? Do you want a dolphin deck?
So they're like themes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they're not all considered tarot. So a lot of those are just oracle decks. Okay. Which can have any theme and any amount of cards and anything goes. Tarot decks specifically are 78 cards. The minor arcana is 4 suits, and it's laid out exactly like a playing card deck. So 4 suits, ace through 10, and then what we call the court cards, which is page, knight, queen, and king. So almost exactly like any cards that you would play with. Readers can read with regular playing card decks. I had a reading when I was like 12 from an old woman who just used regular playing card decks. And then the major arcana is 0 through 21, so 22 cards. And these are the major players in the deck, and they're the ones that are most popular. Okay. So like if you don't know anything about tarot, you've probably seen like the devil, the lovers, the tower. These are the major archetypes.
What do you mean the most popular?
Just like usually if you're seeing anything on TV being as tarot being depicted, they're going to use the images of the major arcana, because they're just more poignant and more specific.
Okay. But what does major mean? Like,
okay, so there's minors and majors, and arcana just comes from arcane, which is hidden. So it's showing us what is hidden. And that's where I'm talking about, like, what's in the unconscious, the subconscious mind. And so the majors are archetypes that we actually want to embody to help us move through a specific situation. And they all offer us a soul lesson. And so I believe that we all commit to different soul lessons that we want to learn in this lifetime. And so they're representative of where we're going towards or how we're going or where we are in the process mm-hmm. of learning that lesson.
Okay.
And some lessons we learn quickly and some are more like lifetime long lessons. Yeah. And so it's just, it's about how we're going to learn that lesson.
That's what I was going to ask is if you do multiple readings on people, do you see it come up again where they'll have a similar card? Really?
Oh yeah. I call them the stalker cards. Yeah.
They're back.
The card that will not leave you alone. Yeah. And it's like, you think you're done and it comes back it's and it's not. Like, bitch.
Not done with that lesson.
You're not
basically.
Done here. Yeah.
Wow.
And then the minor arcana are the ego journey.
Okay.
And these are more of like the day-to-day cards. So rather than like lessons that we may learn over a lifetime, these are the situations that are going to happen quickly in days, weeks, months that help us to move towards those deeper soul lessons.
So it'll be like the small little things that come up on your day-to-day.
Yeah, everything
like, can
from
you give
like
an example. Yeah.
Yeah, everything from like being jealous of a friend or someone you see online to things that are going to happen in your career. It's like making a big like job jump or to a dispute that you have with a friend or a lover. So the minors can be broken down into those four suits and each suit is representative of an element. So you're going to start with fire.
Okay.
And these are called the wands cards. Fire is going to be about our passion, our desires, our sexuality, our sensuality, and the way that we kind of manifest our dreams into reality. And then you have the swords cards, and these are air. And this is going to be about our mental processing, our development of our ideas, our intelligence, and then our ego, which is a big one.
Yeah.
And then you have the cups cards, and these are water.
Okay.
And these are associated with our emotional world. So okay. This is going to look like our relationships, mm-hmm. our self-love, our self-care, the way that we nurture ourselves and others. And then finally, you have the pentacles. And these are the longest. So I'm going in order from like quickest to longest. And pentacles are representative of earth energy. Mm-hmm. And so this is going to look more like our home, our job, our money, our family, the things that represent security to us. Okay. And this is kind of why I say that like the cards can be indicative of like the entire human experience, because there's a lot in there that you can pull to look at, you know, what areas of your life this lesson is being presented in.
Yeah, it's interesting because even when I was just listening to you talk about the descriptions of how this happens again, I went to a fear place. Like, you know, it's like when I go sit with Frank, the psychic, right before I go in, I'm like, oh, what the fuck is he about to tell me? You know, like you kind of anticipate like hearing the worst, or I think that's just what we do. And that was sort of how I felt like, what is she about to flip over with the card? But it is so interesting because I already knew all of it and none of it surprised me.
Yeah.
But it really did just validate again where I need to be focusing and kind of where pushing myself forward maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. And where we need to hang back
or stay still. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think this is a lot of information. So I do find your website to be very helpful. Where can people find that? It's hollyramey.com. Is that right?
It's, well, my middle initial is in there as well.
Oh, okay.
So what's it's the full Holly website? D. Ramey.
Holly D. Ramey. And you have a blog, but you told me. She's like, she goes, how did you find that? I hit it way down deep. Why'd you hide it? What do you mean?
I'm just not super active with it.
Okay.
There's still
really good information I found.
Yeah. I've kind of replaced my blog with Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay. I pull a card every single day for the collective and I put the meaning of it on Instagram.
Ooh, that's
cool. And I also use Instagram just to obviously promote all of my workshops and my events,
right.
But also as a space just to like share what I do and put information out there into the collective. And I do that with my podcast as well. I do a collective reading for every full moon and new moon. Because generally the themes of what are happening in our individual lives are also going to be affected by astrology and the things that are happening in the stars. So as above, so below.
Well, because we talked about that a lot in mine too, because it's Mercury retrograde right now.
Yeah.
So that is affecting the collective for sure, right? Like everyone's kind of feeling that in some way.
Totally.
So you do a lot of like readings about that, or also I've read about the baths to do during certain full moons, which I'm totally going to do myself, but so different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's the name of your podcast?
My podcast is called Tarot Talk. Yeah. And I do a tarot reading for the collective energy of the new moon, which is a time of like more inward reflection and intention setting. And then the full moon, which is about more about release and kind of the peak of the cycle.
I can't tell you guys enough. I really like suggest this. I didn't know how I would feel about it, but we did the reading right before. And also like Holly does a lot of workshops that tap into different, we had talked about doing one about the womb healing, but
a womb healing workshop coming up. So that is specifically around the second chakra and some of the themes that come up with the second chakra, which there's a lot. This is our self-worth. This is our emotional landscape. This is our connection to our matriarchal lineage. This has also been hugely suppressed in patriarchal society and just telling women what they can and cannot do with their bodies. So I do work around that. I offer a new moon ceremony every single month. And this is just a time for both men and women, to sit together in circle. I think, moving forward, there's a lot of healing that can be done in community. I think we've kind of become more nuclear in our family units, and like healing has become a very individual thing where we like go to the doctor and try to figure it out. But I think there's actually a lot of healing that can be done in community and learning to sit and hold space for each other.
Yeah, I so agree with that. I love that.
Yeah. And so I like to form my workshops around that. And so, and I offer everybody Reiki healing, and I lead you through meditations, and we set intentions, and then I give little individual tarot card pulls for everyone. And so it's just a really nice way to kind of honor each other and sit and honor the moon and the more feminine practices, which is really the basis of all my teaching, is like remembering when we regarded nature as sacred, remembering a time when we regarded each other and the emotional bonds and connections as sacred, remembering a time when we felt the authority to be our own healers.
Mm. I think it's so cool with your practice because you tie all of it back in together, like what you just explained exactly, but even just the moon cycles and all of it, and like just being in touch with your body almost and listening to your instinct and your gut and just the way we're communicating with ourselves all the time. I find that we just all block that out. I know I do.
Yeah.
Just because we're going so fast, you know?
Because, yeah, that has been, we've been in this really, really masculine energy for a long time, under patriarchy. Mm-hmm. And I think that we are really feeling called towards balance. We're really being called towards feminine energy. And I'm not talking about gender. I'm talking about the masculine and feminine energy that exists within all of us. And we've put so much emphasis on masculine, which is output and productivity, but it brings us into a deep level of stress response. And it actually creates a lot of trauma. Creates a lot of other things like war. And if you look at our environment and what's happening in the world, and if you look at what's happening in our political landscape, like you can see the effects of that now starting to really show. But you could also see how many people are interested in healing it.
It's so true. I do think you're right. I think there's a movement right now for that, for something different, something deeper spiritually, all of it.
It reminds me a little bit of like the movement that happened around the 60s and 70s, but on a deeper level. And I think we're all being called to express ourselves more authentically, to use our voices in a stronger way. And you can even see how that's happening on social media now, and how social media has become this tool for everyone to like really use their voice. But it's also coming with its own shadow of like what that means. And like, what has been suppressed really needing to come out into the light. And you can even see that happening strongly in America right now.
Yeah.
And so this return to the feminine energy is an opportunity for us to do less, really, right? To not have to fix every problem, but to know and trust in the things that we can't see. And that's magic, right? Mm. That's faith. And that's spirituality. And even if you are religious, like it's all a form of faith. It's all a form of trust.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of medicine in just that, in just being able to not have to do, not have to fix, not have to prove your worth.
Oh my God, she's preaching to me right now, but if you guys are interested in the tarot readings, do you do these on over the phone or how do you do those?
I do them both one-on-one if you're in Nashville.
Yeah, and you're in Nashville, so.
And if you're not, I do them via distance. We could do a FaceTime session or a Zoom or a Skype or whatever.
Yeah.
And I do the same with Reiki. So Reiki can be done in person, but it could also be done in distance.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't realize that.
So energy has no space and time limitations like we do.
Yeah.
Right?
It
extends way out far beyond the physical body. So when I'm giving distance sessions, sometimes people feel it even more strongly. And I do a distance session like every month with one of my friends from New York. We send each other Reiki.
Really?
Yeah.
That is cool. So they can find this
on
your
website.
HollyDRaimy.com. Instagram handle is
HollyDRaimy.
HollyDRaimy. So you're HollyDRaimy all around. Tarot Talk is the podcast. I find this stuff so fascinating. My reading was super insightful. So if you guys have any interest in this, I highly recommend it. And Holly can take it from there with all of that stuff, with all of the details. I just showed up and had a really great session. So thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you guys for listening. Bye.
This is Kelly Henderson, and you've been listening to the Velvet's Edge podcast. I truly believe that every one of us has a little velvet and a little edge. So it's so important to remember that to be strong, you must be soft too. Thank you so much for sharing in those stories with me. You can follow Velvet's Edge on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as velvetsedge.com. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me every Wednesday for more conversations on lifestyle, beauty, and relationships. Thanks for listening.